First station. The agony of Jesus in the Garden of Olives. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
When they came to a place named Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Remain here and keep watch." He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will."
Jesus felt sorrow and dread over what lay ahead of him. He prayed for the burden to be lifted and the cross to be removed, but only if the Father willed it so. And Christ saw clearly that he must drink of the bitter cup, and our Lord totally accepted his future. "Not my will, but thine be done." His example teaches us how to pray at all times, especially in the midst of our own crosses and cups of suffering. "Do not reprove me in your anger, Lord, nor punish me in your wrath. Have pity on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are trembling. In utter terror is my soul."
Jesus in the garden praying is before your Father laying, yet obedient to his will.
The second station, the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribe, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying, "The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely." He came immediately, went over to him, and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. At this they laid hands on him and arrested him.
Rejection always hurts. It tears at our self-esteem and leaves us doubting our own worth. Even the turning down of a simple invitation can wound us. Betrayal, especially by a friend, hurts even more. Jesus had prayed all night before selecting his 12 apostles, including Judas. Judas had also been his companion for 3 years, hearing the Lord's words and observing his miraculous deeds. Now he betrays his Savior with a kiss, and for but a few dollars. Remembering Jesus' hurt and pain in the garden can help us deal with those times when we feel rejected and betrayed.
Turn to our Lord, save my life, and in your mercy rescue me. For who among the dead remembers you, who praises you in his will? So forgive by your disciple.
Sanhedrin condemns Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying, "Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?" But he was silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said to him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Then Jesus answered, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. At that, the high priest tore his garments and said, what further need have we of witnesses?
Envy and jealousy can be like a cancerous disease within us. They spread throughout our whole being, leading to uncharitable conversations, false accusations, and other destructive actions. We see all of this played out among the religious leaders of Jesus' time as they condemn Christ without basis. Our Lord offers a model for us. He did not defend himself, but remained silent before the false accusations. Jesus did, however, assert himself speaking the truth, regardless of the cost.
I am weary with my sighing. All night long, tears drench my bed. My couch is soaked with weeping. My eyes are dimmed with sorrow, worn out because of all my foes.
Judge of all, you stand convicted of the sin that we committed. Oh, for love you bear our guilt.
The fourth station. Peter denies Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said, you too were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. Once again he denied it. A little later the bystanders said to Peter once more, surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean. He began to curse and to swear, I do not know this man about whom you are talking. And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. He broke down and wept.
All of us are like Peter to an extent, willing but weak. We make resolutions, but don't keep them. We try to start a new life, but slip back again into a way of darkness. Yet weak as Peter was, not only in Jesus' trial, but in other times as well, he truly loved Jesus. In fact, it was his love that repeatedly set him up for failure. All of Christ's other followers ran away after his arrest. Peter, however, followed along into the courtyard, only there to see his weakness take over. Almost immediately, he wept because of what he had done. A few short days afterward, Jesus would take this weak but loving follower and make him head of the church, supplying him with divine strength to overcome his human weakness.
Away from me, all you people. The Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my prayer. The Lord takes up my plea. My foes will be terrified in his face. All will fall back in sudden shame.
Even Peter now denies you, claiming even not to know you, just as you had prophesied.
The fifth station. Pilate condemns Jesus to the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Now on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder and a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified.
Pilate seemed anxious to release Jesus, almost looking for a way to do so. But the crowd would not allow that. Pilate capitulated, fearing for his future and lacking the courage to do what was right. We have on occasion acted similarly. Out of the depths I call to you, Lord.
Lord, hear my cry. May your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, pardon our sins, Lord, you can stand. But we need your forgiveness, and so we are revered.
Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, and the soldiers wore a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him repeatedly.
Pilate had Jesus scourged, a truly cruel punishment. He was probably stripped to the waist and made to bend over a short pillar. Then he was lashed several dozen times with a whip, the first few of those strokes cutting open the skin on his back. After the scourging, a wooden band or crown of long, sharp thorns was pressed into the scalp. The pain had to be excruciating. When our own head hurts or we suffer some other bodily pain, it would do well for us to follow the advice in the letter to the Hebrews. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross.
I wait with longing for the Lord. My soul waits for his word. My soul looks for the Lord. For the sentinels will put their faith in him.
Soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They began to salute him and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him.
Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Deserves our praise and our reverence. As the soldiers placed upon him a dirty cloak instead of a royal garment. They handed him a thin reed instead of the golden staff used by kings. Through all this humiliation, Jesus remained silent. How different with us. Though not as pure or as important as Christ, we nevertheless become angry and defensive when someone attacks or criticizes us in any way. More than sentinels in the day of anger, more than Israel looked for the Lord.
For with the Lord is kindness, with him is full redemption, and God will redeem Israel from all of their sins.
They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross.
Those in charge of Jesus' crucifixion compelled Simon of Cyrene to help carry the Lord's cross. He did not volunteer or willingly accept the task, but that is no surprise. Simon was only passing by and presumably knew little about Christ. We, on the other hand, do know Jesus. We have heard his words about the necessity of taking up our own crosses each day and walking in his footsteps. What is our response? Must we be pressed to carry our crosses, be they big or small, or do we accept them willingly? As long as I kept silent, my bones wasted away. I groaned all day, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength withered as it cries under me. Then I regret my sin to you. My guilt I did not hide. I said, I confess my faults to the Lord, and you took away your guilt of my sin.
Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children."
Compassion means literally to suffer with someone. Empathy means to feel with them. These women displayed both qualities as they accompanied Jesus, so bruised and disfigured, on this sorrowful journey through the streets of Jerusalem. We imitate their example when we listen with love to another's troubles, hold another's hand by a hospital bed, or embrace another who is grieving. Lord,
punish me with more order in your anger. In your wrath, do not chastise me. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down.
The tenth station. Jesus is crucified. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, and he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take.
First they drove nails through his hands and feet. Then they raised him on the cross, where he hung painfully for 3 hours. An example of patience for all to study. Pope John the 23rd had a crucifix on his bedroom wall. He prayed in front of it before retiring upon arising, and whenever cares awakened him during the night. A cross, he said, is the primary symbol of God's love for us.
My Lord, our deepest yearning is for you. My groaning is not hidden from you. My heart shudders, my strength forsakes me. The very light of my eyes is failed. Friends and companions shun my pain. My neighbors are staying far off.
Arms spread wide, our pain embracing, sin of blood our sin erasing. O nail fast, your death still healed.
The 11th station. Jesus promises paradise to the penitent criminal. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise."
One criminal said no to Christ, the other yes. To his penitent companion on Calvary, Jesus promised immediate forgiveness and entrance into heaven. When we doubt God's willingness to forgive us, when we keep punishing ourselves for past mistakes, when we dread the thought of standing before the pure Christ with our not-so-pure lives, we might recall this scene on the cross and draw hope from it. Have mercy on them, God, in your goodness, in your abundant compassion, but wash away all my guilt, from whence cleanses me. Let me hear your sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home.
With these words, Jesus gives his mother to us, making her our mother as well. Mary becomes the mother of the church. We can rely upon her for help and look to her as a model. Here she stands at the foot of the cross, offering her son for us and for the whole world. She reminds us that if we unite our sufferings, both large and small, with her son on the cross and with her at the foot of the cross, We will share in Christ's work of bringing grace and blessings to others.
Hasten to answer me, Lord, for my spirit fails me. Do not hide your face from me, lest I become like those descending to the pit. And long let me hear your kindness, for in you I trust. Show me the path I should walk, for with you I can trust my life.
Jesus gives to us another.
Came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "Look, he is calling Elijah." One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last.
Jesus, as a faithful Jew, would have prayed the Psalms regularly. It is no surprise, then, that these words from Psalm 22 are on his lips during the intense agony of his last moments. While this cry might seem to be a sign of despair or hopelessness, it reveals, rather, the depth of his anguish and the intensity of his pain. Shortly afterward, he surrenders totally to his Father's will. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." We might wish to follow Christ's example, letting these words be the last on our lips as we wait each night for sleep to come. Sleep, which is a symbol of our own eventual death.
God, why have you abandoned me? Why so far from my call for help, from my cries of anguish? My God, I call by day, but you do not answer. By night, I have no hope.
Went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that it was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb.
Starting on Good Friday, the church enters into a brief period of silent grief, a time of mourning that looks with hope to the joy of the resurrection that will be proclaimed and celebrated at the Easter Vigil. We grieve in much the same way when someone we love dies. There are tears and sorrow, of course, but rays of hope and belief in a later reunion, bringing us comfort, understanding, and strength.
My soul rests in God alone, from whom comes my salvation. God alone is my rock until salvation. My secure height, I shall never fall. My soul will be at rest in in God alone, from whom comes my hope.
They came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. When entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him."
After the cross comes the crown. After 3 days of mourning and waiting, the church celebrates Jesus' resurrection. He is victorious. The light of the world has conquered darkness. The way, the truth, and the life has overcome death. We hear Jesus' words, "Peace be with you." We feel joy in our hearts. We sing again the acclamation of praise, "Hallelujah." His triumph is ours as well. On Easter Sunday and in many other Easters of our lives, we rise above our failures, our burdens, and our struggles. We too emerge victorious throughout our own Good Fridays. The risen Lord is by our side, pledging that we too will rise again, both here on earth and hereafter in the life yet to come.
Praise the Lord, my soul. I shall praise the Lord all my life. Sing praise to my God while I live. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God Zion through all generations.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.